Today on Real Radio.
The gospel truth. Will you jot that down? That's our study today regarding Bible doctrine. Gospel. Knowing what you believe and why you believe it regarding the gospel. Church family, mark this down if you don't know. There are a lot of gospels out there.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his topical series called You Need to Know. It's a series of lessons on what we often call the essentials of the faith. You know, a lot of folks use the phrase gospel truth, but even many who say those words have little idea what it truly means, or even a fundamental misunderstanding of it. This is what our teacher delves into in his mini-series called You Need to Know All About the Gospel Truth. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
You will be swept away by the flood of deception that is being regurgitated in the world out there. In fact, I blew it. I should have put it on the screen. I've got it on my iPhoto here on my phone. Maybe next week, I don't know. But a friend of mine sent me a billboard. And the billboard is from the heartland of America, and I understand there are billboards, the same billboards appearing in Europe. And the billboard says, Jesus is Muslim. Yeah, across America, this particular one that I got was from Cincinnati, Columbus, Ohio. And Jesus is Muslim. It's comical and sad. It's blasphemous and ridiculous at the same time. It's ignorant, actually. It's historically not only insane, but it is false doctrine. Well, you might be here today saying, well, I'm okay with that. The reason why you would be is because you have no concept of biblical doctrine. You don't know what the Bible teaches. Because the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is all about Jesus Christ. Who he is, his names, his mission, his character, his nature, and the ministry. That's all Bible doctrine. Today we are looking at part one of our study regarding Bible doctrine, and that is all about the gospel truth. Will you jot that down? That's our study today regarding Bible doctrine. Gospel. Knowing what you believe and why you believe it regarding the gospel. Church family, mark this down if you don't know. There are a lot of gospels out there. There are a lot of Jesuses out there, as I mentioned a moment ago. There's the Muslim Jesus, which is not the biblical Jesus. There's the Jesus of Hinduism. There's the Jesus of Buddhism. There's the Jesus of atheism. You may not like what Jesus biblically had to say, but you cannot deny his existence because Jesus was an actual living historical figure who, in fact, every time you sign a check or date a date, even this new year, you are admitting to the fact that Jesus Christ came and existed. Your calendar, your own date-keeping device, announces the new year. What's that new year based upon? Well, it's based upon the birth of Jesus Christ. And I love that. I love saying that because it upsets some people who want to deny him. And yet every time you get up in the morning, look at your alarm clock and it says the date, you're having a harder time denying him. In your note-taking, by way of introduction, warning, we have a huge introduction regarding this particular topic all about the gospel truth, is that I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles right now, all of you, and if you have an electronic Bible, go ahead and hold it up too. I want to see all your Bibles held high. Bibles held high. iPads, iPhones, tablets being held high. Beautiful sight. Wow. That is a lot of Word of God in front of us right now. The Word of God, the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation in your hand, the Bible argues for the gospel. I don't know if you realize that or not. From Genesis to Revelation, the argument is all about, with the key target, the gospel. And if the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, the Bible says, regarding Jesus, John says that in John 1, then the Word of God, being Jesus Christ, it presupposes you have asked this question, why did he come? And you would rightfully answer, he came to save us. Jesus came to save sinners. That Bible doctrine is true. That is accurate. That is correct. But what is the proclamation of this salvation, Christmas, or gospel message is in fact the gospel itself. It is the message that God has sent to us. Jesus himself, the Word of God, personifies the very gospel of God. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, there the Bible, Jesus says, and he, by saying so, expresses the gospel. That's the verse, by the way, that we'll launch from our study in Luke 19, 10. Jesus says, "For the Son of Man," we'll come to this in our study, "has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's the gospel, that Jesus Christ came to save. The word gospel in your note-taking, jotted down, is the meaning or is the word that means good news or glad tidings. The glad tidings are the good news. In Latin, the evangelium is the word that we get evangelized from, or evangelist, or evangelism, the gospel. That word means evangelism, to evangelize. So when you share the gospel with somebody, you are sharing evangelism with them. What are you doing? In evangelism, you are announcing the good news. In fact, we all just came through this having celebrated Christmas. Luke 2:10 says, "Then the angel," I might add the Christmas angel, "said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you'" what? "Evangel," good tidings, "of great joy, which will be to all people." By the way, listen, if you are a Gentile, that is a non-Jew, like me, I'm not Jewish. There's no Jewish blood in my veins, physically. I'm a Gentile, according to the Bible. If you're a Gentile like I am, when you read the Bible, listen, everybody, this is free, this is cool, this is fun. When you read the what's called the four evangelists, you know what the four evangelists are called? The four Gospels. When you read them, then as a Gentile, it's always wise to what's called read the Bible or study the Bible in harmony. Or some have written the books, the Gospel in quad or quadraphonics. What does that mean? The four evangels, the four Gospels. As a Gentile, we always tell people that come to Christ, for example, start reading the Gospels with the Gospel of John. You ever heard that before? Why? Because it declares the deity of Christ right from the center. For us, we get it. And so we go to John. Watch, we go to John. And imagine, those of us who are born in the 50s, do you remember things called overlays? Remember overhead projectors? Anybody? Come on, somebody help me here. Okay, good. Remember, you would turn that light on and you would lay down, listen, you would lay down John's gospel, okay? Then you would lay down Luke's gospel on top of it. Okay, then you would lay down Mark's gospel on top of it. Then you would lay down Matthew's gospel on top of it. Are you with me, everybody? You're tracking. Why? Why do that? Because number one, if you fell out of an airplane and landed on just any one of the four gospels, just one of them, guess what would happen? You would read it and you would come to faith in Christ and you would know who he is. You got that? But if you read all four gospels, you have a greater clarity of what each gospel describes. Overlay. So when you look at that as a Gentile, beginning with John, ending with Matthew, you wind up walking away with a profound understanding of who Jesus Christ is and the gospel meaning, okay? If you're Jewish, that's too much information. That's TMI for a Jew. That's why God is so good. God has arranged the opening of the New Testament, anticipating for when a Jew reads it. What does the New Testament begin? What gospel does it begin with? This is a new year. Are you not going through the genealogies? I mean, don't raise your hand. How many of you? I'll raise my hand. How many of you are reading those names and going, "Come on! Let's get to the exciting stuff." Guess what? If you're Jewish, you don't start with John. TMI. You start with Matthew. Okay, that's just the right amount of information. Why, if you're Jewish, you can't have a Messiah unless you can back up his lineage. And Matthew is writing predominantly, though all can be saved reading Matthew, Matthew is speaking predominantly to the Jewish mind. That's why when you read it, it says, and this was done that it might be, that it was said by the prophet saying, blah, 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 right? You filled in the blank. That is key. If you're Jewish today, if you want to test this experiment, and you can tell your rabbi you were just doing an experiment, you don't have to get in trouble, start with Matthew. Start reading. Why is this important? Because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all proclaim the gospel. Here's a tidbit of little seminary meaning. You could probably care less about it. But for example, we'll come to it, I hope, today, if not next week. The first word of the gospel is the word, believe it or not, repent. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. That's the first word, repent. Matthew mentions repent. Mark mentions the word repent. Luke mentions the word repent. John's gospel does not mention the word repent. So, well, can you be saved without repenting? No, you cannot. John's gospel is all built in with the act of repentance in it. It's brilliant. The four gospels, the four evangels, the four announcements to mankind, God came to save. It's awesome. It's exciting. And so listen, mark it down as we get into this morning. We'll do the best we can today with the time that we have. And it is this. Number one is, what is, in fact, the gospel? What is it? What is the gospel when we consider our Bible doctrine series right now? The gospel is God's deliberate intent, listen, to reveal to mankind. Listen carefully. It's God's deliberate intent to reveal to mankind that, number one, man is completely lost and in need of a Savior. Number one, man is lost. Mankind is lost. What's the announcement on the first Sunday of this new year? Number one, man is lost. Well, thank you for insulting me on my first Sunday in church. No. Listen, mankind's lost. You already know that. Mankind does evil, thinks evil, imagines evil. Mankind, the Bible tells us, is inherently evil, not good. Oprah said we're inherently good. Oprah's wrong. How dare I speak against the gospel of Oprah? Oprah's wrong. God says man needs saving. Mary, the mother of Jesus, she says, how is it that the Lord has had mercy and favor upon me, that God would allow me to be involved in bringing forth my Savior? All mankind needs saving, says the Bible. So the gospel begins with the announcement that man needs salvation. Number two, the announcement of the gospel is, yes, mankind is lost, but God has sent the Savior, Christ Jesus. God has sent the very vehicle by which we are saved. I love the reality of the Bible. The Bible just in our face says, you need help. I don't know how you handle that. Listen, it all depends on who's offering this to you. If your doctor comes up to you and says, stick out your tongue, and he looks at your mouth or your tongue, and then he widens your eyes and looks inside your eyes, and he steps back and he says, you need help. What are you going to say to him? You are to her. You're going to say, well, then help me. Wouldn't you? If your doctor says, I think you're really sick, you're going to say, with what? Look, if I say to you, you need help, you're going to say, get out of my face. If somebody next to you says, you know what, you're sick, you're going to say to them, well, you're sick too. But when someone of authority says, you're not right, if you care about you at all, you're going to say to them, what's wrong? Speak to me. Give me a diagnosis, will you? Well, listen, the great physician looks at humankind and says, you're all sick. You're sin sick. And just before we shrivel up with fear and defeat, he says, but I've got good news. I've got gospel. The word means good news. To be evangelized with good news. And the good news is, I've come to save you from your sickness. God says that mankind has a disease in him, and that disease is sin. We do the wrong thing. The wrong thing comes natural to us. You say, I don't like to hear that. But it's true. God says it's true. But don't give up. Don't lose hope. God says, I've come to save. And that's what the gospel is. The gospel doctrine, the reality, is first made clear in, of course, the Old Testament. Specifically, we saw in our previous studies Genesis 3, but I want to have you focus on Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. In verse 31 of Jeremiah 31, the Bible there says, Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant or a new testament with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Verse 32, not according to the covenant, this is awesome, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt. He's talking about the Ten Commandments. My commandment which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. Verse 33, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. By the way, most scholars today understand that after those days means after God brings Israel back into their land and after he's done dealing with the church, the Bible tells us clearly that Israel's eyes are going to be open during the tribulation period. Isn't that interesting? And they're going to understand Christ to be Savior. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What is he talking about? That's the introduction of the gospel in the Old Testament. God says, I gave you the Old Testament written in stone, and you might ask, for what purpose? If there was need for a second covenant that God says in Jeremiah 31 must come for Israel to be saved, why did he give the first? The first covenant or the first testament, your Old Testament, specifically we're talking about right now, the law of God in the Ten Commandments, was for what reason? To show us God's holiness and our unholiness. You say, well, then what is that good for? To prepare humankind to receive the fact that God is alone, holy, righteous, and just, and he provides the Savior. He does the saving. You can't save yourself. I know that might be your New Year's resolution, but you can't do it. It's not going to work, my friend. Relax, take a deep breath, and chill out. You can't do it. So God promises the gospel even in the Old Testament. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, the Bible says these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them. Remember, he turned them loose. He prepared them, gave them the gospel, and sent them out. And he says, do not go into the way of the Gentiles. Isn't that a weird statement? Jesus now is commencing the ministry of the New Testament, but he says, are you guys listening?
Yes.
He says to them, disciples, go out, but don't tell any Gentiles about this. He says to them, but enter into this or enter into the city of the Samaritans. Don't go there. But go rather to the lost sheep of the what? House of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What in the world is going on? Jesus came honoring the Old Testament to fulfill it, and the first evangelistic outreach was to the Jew first. Remember that in your New Testament age. Remember that in these last 2,000 years. The gospel goes to the Jew first and then to the Gentiles. And that's exactly what the book of Acts is all about. But Jesus tells his disciples, and the initial work of preaching the gospel is go to the house of Israel. Why? Because it was promised in Jeremiah 31 to be so. Jesus himself did the exact same thing regarding the gospel when he spoke to Nicodemus. Remember, some people today, by the way, I don't know if you know this or not. If you don't know this, you're happily uninformed about some of the things that are going on, and I say that affectionately because you do not need to know about this. But there's a lot of people today in Christendom saying that Gentiles get saved one way and Jews get saved a different way. Have you heard that? That's absolutely false doctrine. They say this. By the way, if I were to mention a name of a man, he's so famous, all of you would know him. If I mentioned his name, you'd pass out because this is what he believes. He says that you and I, we Gentiles have to be born again, but he says Jews don't have to be born again. They come to God a different way. John chapter 3, Jesus speaks to a man named Nicodemus. Was Nicodemus a Canadian? Was he from California? Nicodemus was a Jew. The very first time you hear the word born from above is actually, we use the word born again. The word means actually born from above. Who did Jesus tell that to? A Jew named Nicodemus. He was not only a Jew named Nicodemus. He came to Jesus by night. That's why there's Nick at night. You ever heard of that? Nick at night? He came to Jesus and he said, look, all of us professors of the Word of God, he was a priest of the Word. This guy was, his job was to instruct the nation of Israel on the meaning of God's Word. He says, look, we all know that you've come from God. Nobody can do the miracles you do. And Jesus does, he's not flattered by it. One second, Jesus says, unless you're born again, Nicodemus, you will not see heaven. Remember that. Being born again is the result of the gospel presentation. You cannot be born again unless you receive the gospel. The gospel is the accelerant. It's the message. It's the announcement that leads you to being born from above. Jesus says, listen, in bringing the law of the Old Testament and the message of the new together in one sweeping moment, Jesus says, unless you're born again, allow me to say this. I'm speaking to Nicodemus right now. Imagine Jesus would be speaking. Nick, unless you're born again, you will never fulfill the demands of the law. You'll never see heaven. You'll never please God. You'll never be accepted. All of the law that you've been studying for these thousands of years never said it would save you. Imagine if Jesus could have, and he could have, said to Nick, I gave all of that.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know All About the Gospel Truth. It's actually part of a mini-series that goes by that very title. And it's taken from Pastor Jack's collection of lessons on the essentials of our faith called You Need to Know. We'll continue with more of You Need to Know All About the Gospel Truth on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, we want to remind you that Pastor Jack is offering live services from Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, right there at the website reallifewithjackhibbs.org. It's a great time to feel part of a great community while we're dealing with social distancing. You'll also hear encouraging messages and important updates. So head on over to the website, click on that tab that's labeled Home, where dates and times are available so you can watch us live at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. One more time, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You know, during this time of isolation and social distancing, we might feel alone. But, you know, God doesn't want you to go through this difficult time without knowing how much He really loves you, and He wants to have a personal relationship with you. Now, more than ever, we need God's plan of salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, if you want to know more, just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and look for the tab that says Know God. That's K-N-O-W, God. Once you're there, you'll discover how to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and also how to email us if you have any more questions. Don't live another moment without knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He's the only one who can give you eternal life in heaven with Him. If you'd like more info, just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also, the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.